Should know this after 20 years of ministry.
You
okay,
but
thank you. Praise the Lord.
Now, I that never works for me, but you're thin enough where that'll work.
I'm thin? God bless you, brother. Praise the Lord.
I saw the picture you posted today. In comparison, yes.
Praise God. I mentioned this morning, it's a thrill to be back in Oregon again. This is I'm back after 2 years absence. I'm here to visit. I'll be here this week, and then I'll be in Springfield almost all next week with Pastor Todd Wagner at New Life Church. Great congregation there, too. And my whole ministry is centered around grace. Because, as I shared this morning, for those of you here, but those of you who weren't here, I ran from God for the first half of my life. I was an actor in Los Angeles and in New York. I appeared on Three's Company in a few bit parts here and there. I was on a show called The Two of Us in bit parts. I was in quite a bit of live theater. And that's what I thought I wanted with my life until I hit rock bottom because of drugs and alcohol. I had been abused as a child in Catholic school, so all of that combined was like the perfect storm in my life. I practically lost my mind until, as I said this morning, I started watching TBN. Man, did that change my life. So I don't ever want to hear anybody knock Christian television. Yeah, there's a lot of squirrely stuff, okay? There's a lot of squirrely stuff out there. I know that. There's a lot of good stuff out there, too. And so here we are after 16 years of pastoring, 4 years now as an evangelist on the road. This is an honor for me. Please open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And tonight, since my message is centered on grace, guess what we're going to talk about? Grace. Ephesians chapter 2. My ministry is about grace because God has been so gracious to me. You talk about unworthy. Oh, man. I thought I was a lost cause for many years. I praise God for the cross and for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace, you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Say gift. Not of works, say not of works, lest any man or woman should boast. That's our scripture. I want to just give you a little quiz as we start. It's not even a scriptural quiz. I know we're in church, but help me out here. Complete these common American phrases for me, and I know you've heard them. If it sounds too good to be true, if you're old like me, you'll remember this commercial. E.F. Hutton, we make money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Somebody said brunch. Brunch too, okay. Here's a good one. There's no gain without
pain.
No pain, no gain. Here's a real good one. People quote this like this is scripture. God helps those who
help themselves.
Everything about our way of life in America teaches us that you get what you earn in life. There's no free lunch. You make your own bed and you do what? Lie in it. Very good. This is a sharp congregation. Praise God. See, in America, we are so aware of the values of competition and winning, and we know what it means to work hard and use elbow grease. I've never figured out what elbow grease was, but never mind. We value work and sweat. We tell people you get what you deserve in life. And if you want to make something of your life, it's up to you. And I've heard this one too. If it is to be, it's up to me. Huh? How about that? This is called the American work ethic. Loved ones, the only problem with the American work ethic is that God does not operate on the American work ethic. It makes it difficult many times for us to relate to God because we're in this driven work mentality. Work, 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 work. The problem is, in Psalm 145, verse 8, it tells us that God, rather than being in a work ethic mode, it says, God is gracious. He is gracious and compassionate. He is slow to anger, and he's rich in love. How many of you grew up, whether you were taught this way or you just kind of thought it, you kind of pictured God as a very, very old man on a gigantic throne with a great big long white beard who is in a bad mood much of the time, looking for something that you have done wrong in which to jump on you for? You realize that in many cases, some of you don't. Some of you didn't feel that way. You didn't grow up that way. But those of us who were without a dad, those of us who had a very hard, angry, alcoholic, demanding, mean, absent dad, that's how we pictured God. Those of us who had wonderful fathers, that we put that image onto God. So, that's a good thing. But I grew up in a system, and I'm not going to knock the Roman Catholic Church, but I grew up in that church, and we were taught he's mad. And then they came out with that dumb country song, God's going to get you for that. You remember that? If you're old enough, you remember that song, God's going to get you for that. The Bible says that God is a gracious God, right? That means He loves to be gracious to you and me. God loves to bless people. God loves to bless people who don't deserve it. Ooh, that's true. We don't deserve it. That's His nature. I'm glad about that. I don't know about you, but I sure am glad. I'm glad that God blesses people who don't deserve it. You can't understand the Christian life at all unless you understand grace. Because grace is at the heart of our faith. The more you understand grace, the more you're going to be drawn to God. And the more you're going to love God, the more you're going to be grateful to God. It's by that system of grace that God brings us to Himself. Today we began this morning talking about grace. And this morning, the Lord really changed my plans. And we talked about the grace to forgive. And that's a true sign of Christian maturity, if you can forgive somebody who's really wronged you, whether you feel like it or whether you don't. Dear one, if you're operating merely by feelings, you're really not as mature as you need to be as a Christian. It's not about feelings. It's about faith. It's about mercy. It's about grace. It's about loving the unlovely. One definition of grace. What's the definition that you've heard of grace? What is it? What is grace? Unmerited favor. What else? There are a few others. Unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. Grace is it's like a multifaceted diamond. there are many aspects to us. That's the best definition I can think of, but there are many other definitions to describe what it's all about. One definition of God's grace is His love in action. Another definition, God giving me what I need, not what I deserve. You need to understand the difference between grace and mercy. See, mercy is when God doesn't give us what we deserve. Punishment. Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. Blessing and favor. I know, I assume, I'm learning to assume nothing though, but I would think that most of us here probably think we understand grace. We're saved by grace. We've known that for many years. But I've discovered that even many Christians, although they know they're saved by grace, they sure don't act like it. Mm-mm. In fact, they spend most of their life thinking and acting like we're saved by works. Remember when you first got saved? How it just, the presence and the love and mercy and grace of Jesus overwhelmed you because you know how bad you were and how sinful you were, and yet Jesus washed you clean, washed you whiter than snow, and you realized it wasn't because of something you earned. It was just because of His grace that He loves you. But as we get older, we tend to work. We think we have to work to gain His favor. What happened since the beginning when we were saved? Why do we change like that as we get older? For many of you, I don't know about many, for some of you, even though you know you're saved by grace, and you don't get into heaven by doing good, your entire life is built on pleasing God, by trying to be perfect. And you think God is some unpleasable parent up there in the sky with a clipboard and a pen. And He's watching your every mood. Your every move. That was good. That was good. That was bad. You think you have to earn God's approval. You think if you do a certain number of good works, that God's going to say, good girl, good boy, you got it. And if you don't do things God says, forget it. Oh, you're worthless. Get out of here. No. See, lots of people are saved by grace, but you're actually living by works. If I could just read the Bible enough, if I would just spend more time in prayer, then God would be really pleased with me. No. When you really understand grace, it's going to bring you so much joy into your life. It's the most liberating thing in the world. Today we started, and tonight again, we're starting to lay a foundation. And I'm talking about saving grace tonight. For many of you, this is going to be a review of your Christian life, saving grace. You understand saving grace, but you can't build a structure without a foundation. And for those of you, I pray this is a great congregation, but if there's one or two of you who think, I know this, then you're the very person who needs to be here listening, because you don't know this. When we get to the point where we say, oh, I know that, no, you don't. There are many expressions of grace, and I want to look at just a few aspects of saving grace. How do you know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die? How do you know? Well, let's look at it. Grace is God's gift to us. It's a gift. Remember this morning, I handed a lady in the front row my Bible. I said, now, if we're pretending this is a gift, and I hand this to you, what are you going to do? She took it. You receive a gift. You don't earn a gift. A gift is a gift. I gave another woman a $5 bill. She grabbed it right away. And then she put it in the offering, praise God. It's just really cool. Grace is a gift. Because of this American work ethic, I was just talking about. Many people think they're saved by works. You'd think they thought they were saved by works, by the way they behave. By earning their way to heaven, by being good enough so that God says, okay, come on in. If you were to ask 50 to 100 people on the sidewalks of this town, how do you get to heaven? How many answers do you think you would get? How many people? Yeah, how many people do you ask? You get probably that many answers. Well, you got to earn your way to heaven. You'll hear things like that. Or the way to get to heaven is you try to be good and do your best. Or work real hard at being good and just try to be a good moral person. Or do more good things in life than you do bad, and your good pile will be higher than your bad pile, and God will say, yes, come on in. No. The Bible says that our so-called righteousness, our righteous acts, are as filthy rags to God. We can't fathom an all-holy, all-righteous, all-perfect God. We can't fathom that. That is until you're born again. We have nothing to bring to the table except our hearts, our obedience, our love, are receiving this precious free gift of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross and making Him our own Lord and Savior. That's all we do. And then we're to love one another as He loved us. You need to understand that God says here that salvation is absolutely free. You don't work for a gift. It's free. God says salvation is absolutely free. You can't earn it, can't buy it, can't work for it. This is the fundamental difference between Christianity and Buddhism, between Christianity and Islam, between Christianity and every other ism and religion in the world. Because in those religions, you gotta work, 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 do, work, 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 do. And even then, you're not guaranteed of so-called eternal life. You die schizophrenic, spiritually speaking, in those religions. In those religions, it's about do. In our faith, it's about done. See that cross? Done. Done. It's a gift. Jesus offered us this gift of eternal life by that cross. That's the greatest gift you're ever going to be offered. And you're never going to get a better deal than that. If you really understand grace, you'll accept it because it is a priceless gift in your life. It's God's gift to you and me. God's gift is received by faith. We just read those verses. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. Not of works. It's a gift of God, not of works so that no one can boast. Faith is the key that unlocks the door to heaven to receive this grace. It's just a gift, but you have to receive it by faith. Again, if I actually had money in my pocket, I have $2 left after giving away my $5 bill. But, wait a minute. No, I have more than that. I'm sorry. I'm not going to lie in church. $7. Let's pretend like this is $100. If I have a gift for you and say, here's this gift for you, it's $100, come and get it. It'll just sit there in my hand unless you come and receive it by faith. That's the way it is with salvation, with receiving Jesus. Eternal life. That's the way it is with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I've been seeking for 25 years the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Receive it. Take it. It's a gift. It's yours. It's yours. Salvation isn't based on my performance. I've had people say, yeah, well, Tony, you were a pastor, or Pastor Ken's a pastor, and you should know all these things, and you're on a kind of a different plane. No. Ask our wives. It's not based on my performance, it's based on God's promise. It's not based on my goodness, it's based on God's grace. I'm getting to heaven not based on my merit or the brownie points that I think I'm scoring, but by God's mercy. That's why He gets all the credit and not me, not you. He gets all the glory. There's nothing you and I can do. Nothing. To earn our way to heaven. It's a free gift and it's received by faith. And I'll tell you what, this free gift is for everybody. It's for those evil, awful people that we talk about on the news who are murdering Christians in the Middle East. This free gift is for them. This free gift is for whom we consider the worst of the worst on this planet. It's for everybody. Jesus died for every human being. I had a guy ask me one time after a service when I was still pastoring, "Pastor Tony, what can I do to be saved? What can I do? What do I do? What do I have to do?" And I was just playing with him a little and I said, "Well, you're too late." He said, "What?" I said, "No, you're about 2,000 years too late. What needed to be done for your salvation has already been done. And you can't do anything about it. You can't do any more. But just take it. Just receive." Jesus Christ already did it. He paid for your salvation on the cross. It's a free gift to us. And that's why Jesus, when He was hanging on the cross, He stretched out His arms. And one of the things He said was, "It is finished." Or another translation was, "It is accomplished." He didn't say, "I am finished." No. Because He wasn't. He's still alive. He resurrected Himself. Jesus said, "It is finished." What's the "it"? Your salvation. The plan to provide grace for every person who needs it. It's finished. It's a done deal. God says, "Here it is. It's a free gift. Take it." There isn't anything you can do to save yourself. You just accept God's free gift of grace. I'm not getting to heaven based on the fact that I'm a preacher or that I'm traveling around the United States and preaching the gospel. I don't get any credit for that. I'm getting to heaven based on what has already been done for me by my Lord and Savior. The sad thing is, even though many people know that God offers His grace, His unconditional gift to us, they still try to earn their way to heaven. I've heard it as a pastor. Pastor Ken's heard it, I'm sure. They think that something in their lives is making them good enough that they don't need to receive God's gift of grace through Christ. You may have done some really nifty things in life. Really cool. Really wonderful stuff. But if you think they're going to get you into heaven, forget it. Heaven is perfect, and you're not. The only way you're going to get in is by receiving God's gift to you, receiving it by faith, which is available to every human being. Don't give up on your lost loved ones. I said it this morning. My mom stayed in front of God's face for 23 years, praying me back, back to Jesus. 23 years. However,
took
26.
Yeah.
However long it takes. And you pray in faith, and you pray in faith, and you pray in faith.
Now He leads out a mission for the addictions.
Praise God. Yes. See? And he's reaching others with the love of Jesus. As a mom praying in faith, just like my mom did, the Bible says, I'm going to ask you something. What pleases God? What pleases God? Anybody? It says in Hebrews, without faith, It is impossible to please God. That's the only thing listed. Faith. Mom did it. My mom in heaven did it. Don't give up on your loved ones, your lost loved ones. They won't be lost for long. Don't give up. Persevere in faith. We took a little side journey there, but that's okay. Must have been important for God. Absolutely. Grace comes only through Jesus. I'm going to wind down here in a little bit. Grace comes from Jesus. Turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, please. John's Gospel, chapter 1. That's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. John chapter 1, verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Stop right there. Could anybody be saved under the law through their own works? The law was given to show us, the law was given by God to us as a big mirror to show us just how hopeless and helpless we really were. To show us God's standard of righteousness, which none of us could live up to. None of us. The law was given through Moses, but grace, unmerited favor, and truth came through Jesus Christ. Why through Jesus? Why is Jesus Christ the only way to heaven? Why not Buddha? Why not somebody else? Why not Groucho Marx? Why not Muhammad or whoever? Because Jesus paid the price for our admission. He's already paid your ticket. Your salvation is paid into heaven. Nobody else has ever done that. On the cross, He paid for our sins. That's what it means by redemption. To redeem. He bought us back. And that, not of ourselves. We had nothing to do with it. Grace is free. No doubt about that. But it isn't cheap. I get really unnerved when I hear even some preachers these days say, oh, well, these guys, they're preaching greasy grace. They're preaching cheap grace. That makes my skin crawl. You know why? Because that's bordering on the edge of blasphemy. There's nothing cheap about grace. There's nothing greasy. That's obscene. There's nothing greasy about grace. It cost God everything to pay for our salvation. It cost Him everything. The law tells me that when I do wrong, it says, you blew it, but grace says, here's how to get back on track. You're forgiven. Let's get going in the right direction. Romans says, many people have received God's gift of life by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. In the Bible, the favorite description for someone who has grace, who's accepted God's grace, the favorite description for a believer is the term in Christ. If you don't get anything else I've said tonight, listen to this, get this. The term in Christ in the New Testament, that phrase, in Christ, in Jesus Christ, in Him, in whom, in Him, is used in its various derivations over 120 times in the New Testament. In Him. Pastor Ken, may I use your Bible for this? It's larger than my New Testament that I brought. Thank you. Over 120 times it says we are in Him, in whom, in Christ, in Jesus. It refers to somebody who has found salvation through the grace of our God being in Christ. Let me explain it like this, and this is what I'm saying. If you don't get anything else tonight, get this. This card represents my life. My past. This was Tony. For a long time. Smudged, blackened, muddy, dirty, scars and stains, filth. This represented my life. And let's let the Bible represent Jesus Christ. In my life, there are a lot of things I've done wrong that I've been ashamed of, that were filthy, dirty, sinful. A lot of things that disqualify me to live in a perfect place like heaven. There are things in my life that have ripped my life, torn at my life, hurt me, and I in turn have hurt others many times. This represents any life before they come to Christ. There are things I'm ashamed of that I don't want you or anybody else to know. Ways that I've hurt others, the ways that I've been hurt and gotten revenge, the things I've said, the people I've, the women I've chased, the drugs I've done, the filthy things that I've allowed to come out of my mouth. I've ripped up my life and allowed others to rip it up too. And then there are things in my life that I've done I'm really ashamed of and made a total mess of things. I look at this messed up, broken, torn, damaged, scarred life, and I think there's no chance of this, of Tony, getting into heaven. No chance. It's certainly not perfect. But the Word of God says that Jesus Christ, takes my life and yours with all the scars, with all the tatters, with all the mistakes and stains and filth, all the guilt. And the Bible says that when you and I come to Christ Jesus and say, Jesus, I open up my life and my heart to you. I want to accept your free gift of eternal life and salvation. Then God, the Father, puts me in Christ Jesus. My life is hidden in Christ. When I am in Christ, can you see my imperfections now? No. Can you see the things that I'm ashamed of now? No. Eli, you know what I'm saying. You know exactly what we're talking about. Can you see the things that have ripped up my life and your life? And no. All you can see is that when I'm in Christ, all you see that when I am in Christ, all you see is Christ. So some of you need to stop beating up yourselves, even today, over maybe something that you haven't that God forgave you of long ago, but you haven't quite forgiven yourself. You're in Jesus. You are beautiful. You are in Him. I warned you this morning, I'm not one of those screaming, sweating, strutting evangelists that scream at you and yell at you. I'm not going to do that. Just want to be real with you. You are beautiful in His sight. Each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. Turn to Galatians. We're going to close pretty soon. Turn to Galatians chapter 2, please. Very important stuff here. You got to get this. Grab this. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21. I love this. Don't treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if we could be saved by keeping the law, by doing good, then there was no need for Christ to die. If you and I could have been perfect by keeping the law and regulations and rules, then the cross was in vain. It was useless. For God so loved the world, for God so loved and loves the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe upon Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Jesus might be saved. Amazing love. Amazing love. We need to hear more about His love, more about His grace. And we need to be vessels of His grace to other people who are lost. We don't need to beat people over the head. We just need to show them His love. Let me tell you something. You and I are never going to debate or argue somebody into heaven. Never. Never. Bless God, I know this book. And I'm going to set you straight. That approach, guess what? You may win the argument, but you'll lose a soul in the process with that approach. Oh, I know better than you, and I can quote Scripture, and I'll make you know that you're wrong. You're going to lose a soul in the process. You be very careful with that mess. We love people into the kingdom. You'll never debate someone into the kingdom. You'll never argue someone into heaven. We love them into heaven. That's why I love Pastor Ken. That's why I love a lot of my friends who are in the ministry right now. And a lot of so many of the people that I pastored, because they have loved people into the kingdom. Because they themselves remember, it wasn't that long ago when I was really a mess myself. And so they're able to reach others with that love. Praise God. This is a free gift. Let's turn to Romans. I think this is the last scripture we'll look at. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. Oh, this is one that a lot of my contemporaries as preachers love to hammer. They hammer this scripture, bless God, and they'll hit the pulpit. And a lot of them will yell and they'll strut and use the handkerchief and... But here's where they come short. They'll yell this out. For the wages of sin is death. And they'll stop right there. There's no period there. Read the whole scripture. Read the whole verse. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the good news of that's the good news. That's what gospel means. Good news. If you're going to quote that verse, quote the whole verse. Eternal life. The results of God's grace are going to go on forever and ever and ever and ever. It ain't going to end. Eternal life is one of the benefits of grace. Heaven. You could say that grace is the gift that keeps on giving. God saves the best for last, and the best is yet to come. This is temporary. Everything you see, look at, touch, feel, smell, it's going away. This is all temporary. For we walk by faith and not by sight. See, the spirit world, a spirit, God is spirit, and He created all of this. My mom is in heaven. She's been in heaven for about a month now. And I know that she is younger than she's ever been. She is in the prime of her eternal life. And she's with family. And she's with billions, millions of others who love Jesus. And that goes on forever and ever. Heaven is a place of reunion where we are reunited with loved ones who have accepted the grace of God. Heaven is going to be a place of reward. We're rewarded for the character that we developed and the way we served other people here on earth. See, the works that we do as Christians, it's not because we got a shortage in the nursery. Somebody's got to do it. No, that's not the right attitude. The works that we do as Christians emanate from our faith. The works that we do is just because we love Jesus. And we love people. Well, I guess I have to tithe again. No, you don't have to. But you're missing out on a blessing. Amen. We tithe not because It says to tithe. We tithe because we love our Father. And we love His church. We love His work. Oh. Heaven is going to be a place where we are going to be reassigned to do new work that we like to do based on how God has gifted us as human beings. What do you really enjoy? What do you enjoy doing? What's your gift? What's your talent? God's going to let you do that and more in heaven. Praise God. We're going to hear Pastor Ken talking through all eternity. Preaching the Word. Praise God. But really, no, we'll be shouting the praises of God. I look forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun talking about Jesus and what He did for us. And man, we're just going to be scratching the surface after about a million years. Heaven is going to be a place of release where we're free from all pain, all suffering, all sadness, all sorrow, all grief, all depression, all loneliness. Heaven is going to be a wonderful place, and it is the gift of God. This ain't all there is. This goes by really quickly. There's one catch to all this good stuff. Just one. You have to accept it. And that's what we need to get across to other people. It's all free. You just have to receive it. If you get a gift and you don't unwrap it, you're crazy. But if you get a gift and you don't unwrap it, guess what? It is a worthless gift. Just going to lay there and collect dust. It's a worthless gift. You need to realize that Jesus makes this grace gift available to everybody, but it is also customized especially for you. For each and every one of us. Man, I'm getting excited. I'm preaching me happy. Oh, wait a minute. Go on, Tony. Yeah, go on with your bad self. Woo! Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. I get excited when I talk about the things of the Lord. Because I know from the trash heap that He pulled me. And so I get so excited about Him. You're never going to get a better deal than what we talked about tonight. You're not. Open your heart. Open your life to Christ. It's your only hope. And it's free. Now I said I'm going to close about 10 minutes ago. Like the Apostle Paul. And in conclusion, and he writes 3 more chapters. I really am going to close with this. In the New Testament, there's a story of the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. She'd had numerous moral failures. Numerous. Multiple. Many. She slept around with anybody and everybody, apparently. She had what you'd call a reputation. In fact, one day some religious leaders actually caught her in the act in bed with somebody. My question is, where was the man? That's for another sermon. Anyway, they caught her. I think they framed her. They drag her to Jesus. They threw her on the ground in front of the Lord, expecting Him to condemn her. So, Master, what are you going to do about this woman who's violated all kinds of the commandments and principles of God? What are you going to do? What did Jesus do? He defended her dignity. This church, you ought to be leading in by the power of God in you. You ought to be inviting prostitutes into this church. You ought to be inviting drug addicts and alcoholics into this church. This is the best hospital in this city. Jesus defended her dignity. You know, he protected her. He protected her. In front of the whole crowd, He said, "All right, anybody who's here without sin, you throw that first stone." Of course, since there was no one in the crowd who was perfect, they all began to slowly walk away. Then in the privacy of that one-on-one encounter, Jesus looked at this woman who was filled with guilt. And He said, So where are your accusers? Where are your condemners? And she said, Lord, they've all gone away, Lord. Jesus said to her two very profound things. He said, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. That's all he said. No long lecture, no big lesson. He said, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save it. If you're expecting to come to Christ and be filled with a whole bunch of condemnation, you missed the boat. You haven't heard the story. You don't understand grace. Isaiah says, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. And I believe there's somebody here tonight. Just like this morning. It's funny because when you're up here preaching, sometimes you think, I'm not getting through here. You're thinking that to the Lord. Great man of faith. I ain't getting through. But guess what? Pastor Ken and I missed a great portion of our lunch because of people who came forward for prayer. This is the best hospital in Coquille. There was once upon a time when I hesitated to do something in particular, and that is to give an altar call on a particular Sunday in the church where I pastored in Morgantown, West Virginia, because there were no visitors on that Sunday morning. And yet the Holy Spirit kept impressing in my heart, give an altar call for someone to receive Jesus. And I kept thinking, I know all these people, Lord. I know all these people. They're all saved. They all know the Lord. And still, the Holy Spirit, no, give an invitation. You don't say, are you sure? You don't do that. So I gave the invitation to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and I bent over the pulpit. I'm going, I'm scared. This man of faith is scared. And it was very quiet. And I heard someone walking down the aisle. It was a man who had been a part of our church with his family, wife, two children. He's a professional commercial pilot. He walked down the aisle. They'd been in our church for 5 years. And I had just assumed that they knew the Lord. Very kind and loving family. Very kind man. He tithed. He was very, just a very giving person. Very kind-hearted. And yet he walks forward with tears streaming down his face. I'm incredulous. I'm going, wow, Jesus, whoa. And I walked over to him and I went down the steps. I said, Pat, man. I said, really? I had no words. I said, really? He says, yeah. He says, I've never really given my heart to Jesus Christ, but I want to now. He served on committees in the church. I dare say there are board members in churches across the world who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There are people who have warmed pews for decades and decades and decades who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Feigning godliness, but really denying the power thereof. It's all about works. Got to do this, got to do that. Pastor Ken, we got to do this, we got to do that. And they make everyone's life miserable. Nobody asked me to say this tonight. This is on my heart. That being said, if you have never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you need to do that tonight, because today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. If you have made Jesus your Lord and Savior, praise God, that's wonderful. I'll see you in heaven. But then there might be another group of people or another person or a couple people whom you really feel, whom you really know inside, you need to rededicate your life to Jesus. It's time. You've let other things get in the way. Now you want to walk in that freedom that grace gives you. So please stand with me, and I want to pray with everyone tonight once again. Oh Lord Jesus, I can't get over, and we can't begin to fathom your great love for us and what you accomplished through your finished work at Calvary's cross. Your blood washes over our sin and our sinful nature. And though our sins be as scarlet, you wash us. Your blood washes us whiter than snow. And it's all free. It's all a gift from God. Not of works, lest any one of us would ever dare boast. Lord Jesus, tonight I ask you and I pray for those who are here, Lord, if there's any one here, any one person even, who has not made you their personal Savior and Lord. They've been close, but they haven't done it just yet. I pray, Lord, that you would put it upon their hearts that, yes, today is the day of salvation. Come to me, my child. Come. Come. And if there might be another person or persons here who is really bogged down in the things of this world, just like we sang this morning. And I want to sing it again, and let's make it our prayer. Let's sing this together. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you tonight, if you feel it incumbent upon your heart right now, yeah, Tony, I really need to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I need to do this tonight. I promise you, dear one, I would never embarrass you. Never. I won't. I won't embarrass you with this. I just want to see who you are, and I want to pray with you. If there is anyone else here, and you know in your heart, oh, I've let things go for too long. I've let other things get in the way, and I need to truly recommit my heart to Jesus tonight. If that's you, I want to ask you to raise your hand. We had a number of people who raised their hands this morning. Quite a few. I want to ask you tonight, please, let Pastor Ken and I pray with you. We will pray in agreement with you, and you will receive such a blessing that you can't even begin to fathom. Just shoot up a hand right now. I need prayer. If you need prayer for anything else, dear one, dear sister, dear brother, raise a hand. Just let me see who you are. Thank you, sister. Thank you. Thank you, sir. For anything else, it can be anything. Jesus meets our needs. He meets our needs according to His riches in glory. He can do what no man can do. We want to pray with you once this service closes. So if you who raised your hands would come forward, Pastor Ken and I would be happy to pray with you and watch God do miracles in your life. I thank you for coming tonight. And I do sense, I sense a sweet spirit in this congregation this morning and again tonight. Something, I'm telling you, I don't say this to every church. Something very special is going on here, people. I feel it. I'm a stranger here. I sense it. Something very special is happening here. I know you've had storms, but Jesus even walks on the water in the midst of the storm, and He's got you by the hand. And great things are going to happen to this congregation as you impact this city, this region, with His love. I mean that. I truly believe it.